Well, it is a special privilege for me to introduce to some of you for the first time Bob Morgan. Bob has been with us before at Hazel Green a few years back. If you're an undergraduate student at Birmingham Southern College, one of the classes you run to try to get into are Bob's classes. Bob's been a pastor, a district superintendent. He served a while at the Epworth Church here in Huntsville. He was elected a bishop in 84 and served as the United Methodist Bishop in Mississippi and in Kentucky. And then in retirement came back to Birmingham Southern and began teaching undergraduates. He has become one that is shepherding many, many students into the ministry and helping students discern their call. But really, he has done that all his life. I am one of those that he encouraged. He has known me for 56 years. I have known him all my life. He's my mama's baby brother. He and Dr. Martha Morgan, who's sitting with Jill, have served the church so well through the years. His special passion and interest is the Gospel of John. He loves all of the Bible, but you're going to hear how much he loves the Gospel of John. And I'm not going to talk anymore because I want to give him all the time. Would you come and share with us?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Well, it's great to be with you, to be with Mike and Jill, who are very special to us. It's going to be an unusual day. I hope that you're going to hang in there with me. I'm not going to give you the whole nine yards at 8:30. Give you three of them, and give you three at 9:45, and three tonight, six. And I hope you'll be with us. Now, we're not going to go verse by verse over the Gospel of John. You can't even read it in that length of time. But I do want to give you enough information. Again, I don't assume that you have never read, but yet at the same time, I want to almost approach it as though you don't know a whole lot about it. What I would like to do is to sort of tantalize you a little bit, that you'll want to... that you'll want to go home this afternoon and pick it up and start reading it, because it is a wonderful gospel. I don't have a lot of time to give you a lot of the things that I'd love to do here. I told Michael, say, won't you come and do a Bible conference and let's talk about what to do? And I said, well, how about me doing a study of John? And, of course, he knows I love John, but studying John in the light of the cross, because perhaps more than any other gospel, John is no doubt from the get-go that John writes the gospel, the writer of John, writes the gospel in such a way that it's all in the shadow of the cross as they approach the cross. It gives us more insight, gives us more theology. And that's a good word. That's not a bad word. It's a good word. And they give us the word, it's a different thing than we read in the other Gospels. Four Gospels. Three of them are called the Synoptic Gospels. And you know that. And the word synoptic means similar. In other words, they wrote the Gospels with a common view, common understanding. So when you read Matthew, you read Mark, you read Luke, you say, hey, man, I heard that somewhere else. And you realize that how they just sort of mesh the three Gospels. But then you get to John, and if you still have that same idea, man, you're going to be in for a real rude awakening, because it is not near what the others write. It's the story of Jesus, the same Jesus, the same conditions a lot, but it's written later. And I can talk to you about how we know that was written later. One thing I want to say, and I did, here I go. My young adults who are my students at Birmingham Southern College, They often say that my second language is digression. I think that they learn more sometimes in my digressive exploits than they do maybe in the main script. But I want to say some things about John and the gospel. When you look at John and you just open the book up, I know it's 21 chapter, that's not important to know, but it's divided in half. And the first half is called the Book of Signs. And the word sign is the word used in John rather than miracles. Now, there were a lot of miracles, but John only used 7 as examples. A miracle or a sign never was told just, or was it performed just for the entertainment of people, but it always had a mission, always had a purpose. Remember that. We get so caught up sometimes in turning water into wine. How do you do that? You don't know how. You can't fathom how God does things. I have no problem with it. But what you need to get out of that today as a Christian, a growing Christian, is what was the purpose? What was he trying to demonstrate? What was the writers of John trying to teach the Christian community? And when you get that, then you begin to get the real stuff of John. I have fallen in love with John. Primarily, it does do a different kind of story. It adds flavor to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, first thing you read, when you read into it, my goodness, you know, where is Bethlehem? Matthew and Luke tell the magnificent birth stories. Mark, and sometimes people haven't even noticed it that closely, begins at the baptism of Jesus. And here comes John. And John's Christmas story is really a wonderful Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word. That is the Christmas story for John. And some people get shook up, or they look for something that was in Matthew. Not anything in John really can you find in Matthew, Luke, or Mark. It was written later, and there are different stories, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute. I think it's always important when you study the Bible to know something about geography, and we aren't going to have time to do a whole lot about geography. But I have up on the board a topographical map of Palestine. The Dead Sea, to the obvious, to the at the bottom, and a little smaller one, that's the Sea of Galilee. And you see this, there were 3 geographical areas. One on the Mediterranean Sea was the coastal plain. And there were a lot. That was, oh my goodness, that was the land of milk and honey, where you could just put a seed in the ground, turn around, man, it's growing before you get out of sight. The coastline. And then the middle ridge, some high mountains, was the central ridge. And that's where Jerusalem is located. Yeah, I always say, tell my students, go to the top of Dead Sea and go straight to your left or to your west and go up the mountain, and there you find Jerusalem. Jerusalem is 2,700 feet above sea level. Jericho, 12 miles away, down on the river at the north of the Dead Sea, is 800 feet below sea level. And so you descend over 3,500 feet, and it's just like that, going up or coming down, and that's the Jericho Road. But always you say going up to Jerusalem. Well, it's very obvious when you mean Jericho, you just say going up to Jerusalem. But my growing up days, was that if you were in Huntsville, you don't go up to Birmingham. You go down to Birmingham. And Birmingham go up to Hazel Green. You read the Bible, it always says we're going up to Jerusalem. because it was more than just the topography. It was a holy sense that this was the holy city, and you're going up, and that's important. Now that's Jesus' territory. Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have Jesus up there in the Sea of Galilee most of the time, up in Capernaum, which is just to the north of the sea, right on the lake, and Bethsaida, which is just over a little bit to the east, in that area. He spends most of his ministry there. If you can take, and you engineers in here, I don't want to be embarrassed by using this illustration, but I don't know what you use today. Are you students? In geometry, we use what we call a compass. And it had this straight point, very primitive, like a nail. And out here you had a pencil. And you did the radius of a circle. So if you took and if you make a circle with it, you know. Now, if you put the point of the compass in Capernaum, which is at the north tip of the... I could be doing some glamorous stuff by pointing. That is the Dead Sea, and here's where I got the arrow. Or it's not doing it, is it? It's all right. At the top of Galilee, if you put the point there, and you made a circle, and you did the extension of the compass by 70 miles, or what have you determined was 70 miles, and made a circle, that's where Jesus lived his life. Jesus never got out of that circle that has a radius of 70 miles. It was Jerusalem to Galilee. Now, in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it shows Jesus living his entire life and his ministry in Galilee. And then at the end of his ministry, as we approach Easter, he spent the last week before his crucifixion in Jerusalem. John didn't do that. John has him coming in and out of Jerusalem like a swinging door. He makes three visits to Jerusalem in John. One visit in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But one the one has him coming and going to the cross. But the three all are on Passovers. That the Jew would go, if he could, to Jerusalem. When you read the book, if you can just open it up and you can see two books. Book of Signs are the first 12 books. The second part of it is called the Book of Glory. And that tells the story of his struggle toward the cross. When you read it, you just need to be aware of that. You know, that's not going to be any big revelation. There's a little bridge between the two books. There is a prologue, which is perhaps the most beautiful writing in all of literature, the first 18 verses of John, first chapter. And then there's an epilogue, which is the 21st chapter. And that's the way you need to read it. And know where you are when you're reading that particular chapter. It's a powerful, powerful way to go about it. And to know that that's where you are. The first book, think about this, it is in the public life of Jesus. He is out on the streets. He is preaching. He is teaching. Not trying to, be back in the shadows at all. Now then, the second half of John, remember that this becomes the private ministry of Jesus, where he moves away from the public ministry into the private area of his ministry, where he spends time himself in meditation. That's where his great teachings, discourses, are used there. But he's teaching to his disciples. The real thing to understand about Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that the writers make evident that Jesus' main purpose was to teach the disciples. That was his class. Even though thousands of people heard him at different times, his main agenda was to make sure that the disciples got it. And of course, they didn't. They really did not get it. And so, if you can just have these little things that I have sort of shared with you, let me say, one more thing that's very important before we just get into it. And that is that John, people always want to say, well, which John was that? Is the same one that wrote Revelation? Same one wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd? You know, if we grow up in Sunday school, and we don't make a whole lot of issue over who wrote what. And our assumption is, and it's okay, that somebody named John wrote that. Somebody named Mark wrote Mark. But the truth is more broader than that. It's very obvious that John is all over the 21 chapters of the book of John. But probably it was written. Today we think about the community of John gives us the gospel. The community of Mark. The community of Matthew. Not one person. The community of Luke. Let's just take John, for example. He's believed to be the youngest of the disciples, the beloved, if you assume that the disciple whom Jesus loved is John, and I do. John was the inspiration for the Gospel of John, no doubt about it. But John probably was not the writer that we have in John. Don't be alarmed about that, because John put his 2 cents in every verse almost. But probably as it progressed, John was the inspiration. There were scribes that would pick up the stories. It was John who told him about Nicodemus. It was John who told him about the woman at the well. But somebody else put it down. The community, again. Let me talk about the community. Sometimes we don't think about Jerusalem and after the cross. But it's a pretty miserable place. There were some, in Acts, it tells some good things about Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was never home base for the Christian movement.